Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the episode of the Let's Do It Afraid podcast. Today we have a guest, but before we introduce our guest, we do want to take a minute to have you maybe read over our trigger warning in the description. Some of the topics that we'll be discussing today could be a little triggering or difficult for some listeners. So please take care of yourself. If that is the case, maybe skip this episode and we will see you next week. Today we have a special guest. She is a mom to three beautiful kids. She's also recently become kind of a fitness influencer. She shares all things fitness on her personal Instagram page. She also happens to be my little cousin. Everyone, please welcome Crystal Rodriguez. How are you doing, Crystal?
Hi, I'm doing good, Myra. How are you?
So I'm good. I'm good. Thank you. I'm really happy that you're here. I've known you my entire life, obviously. And when I first thought about people that I wanted to have on this podcast, you were definitely one of the first people that came to my mind. I think I tell you this all the time, but I am so proud of you. I admire you so much. You are so strong. And this is like the happiest I've ever seen you. The most beautiful I've ever seen you. And I don't just mean that because you lost a bunch of weight and you look amazing, but
Thank
you
you.
really shine differently. You just your smile, your the light in your eyes. Like I just remember, looking at Crystal before, and you can just tell like the way you just the positivity and the love and the confidence that radiates from you today is so different from, a couple years ago. So I'm really happy to have you on. I know that this is a really difficult conversation to have, but I do also believe that it's a really important one. So we really want to applaud you and just thank you so much for coming on here with us and sharing your story.
Yeah, well, thank you for having me here. I'm definitely happy to be here. So, yeah, let's get started.
Okay, so do you want to tell listeners a little bit about yourself, just in your own words?
Well, I'm a single mom. I have three kids, ages 3, 11, and 16. And I pretty much am really into fitness right now. I wasn't a while ago. Actually, for a couple of years. I've always done soccer since I was little. That's pretty much the only fitness that I've ever done, and I really love playing. But yeah.
So the first question that we really like to start all of our interviews with is, what is a fear that you are currently struggling with today?
Right now, I think my biggest fear, I guess it's failing my kids. I think that's probably like my biggest fear is not doing enough for them or not being there enough for them in order to help them, grow and basically have them be successful in the future. I would say that's probably my biggest fear.
Yeah. And I don't think you're alone. I think Eva and I talk about this probably every week. I think most moms' probably biggest fear, right, is messing up your kids in some way. And even though like you're not a perfect person, so obviously you can't expect to have perfect children. And ultimately, they might have to go to therapy for one reason or another. But I think as long as you intentionally just try to do your best, then you're already ahead of it because there are some parents that they don't even ask themselves those questions, like they don't even care. So the fact that you care to be like, I don't want to mess up my kids, like I want to be intentional, I want to raise good human beings, I think that already you are doing the best job ever. So I'm really proud of you. I think you're an amazing mom.
Thank you.
So I know that you were in an abusive relationship for a long time. And to be really honest, I never knew what you were going through until you openly shared your story on social media. And it was even shocking for me because, our families are so close. Like your mom and my mom are sisters, and we see each other all the time and hang out with you and with your partner. So to know that you were going through all of that was really, heartbreaking for me to know that, oh my gosh, like you didn't have maybe a safe place or maybe a safe person that you could really talk to about what was going on. And maybe you did. I mean, maybe you did talk to like your mom and your sisters and things like that, but for myself, I didn't really know what was going on. But I do just think it's so brave of you to share your story with so many people. I think it could really help a lot of people, because I don't think it's a topic that gets talked about enough. If you don't mind telling us a little bit about it, when did the abuse start? Was it kind of slowly over time, or was it just like right from the beginning of your relationship?
To be honest, it started when I was in high school when I met him, not right away. At the beginning, he was very charming, very like, love bombing, kind of like giving me little gifts, little letters, little pictures, drawings, things like that. And it wasn't until I was already with him, for a bit that he started to change and, and by then, I guess I was just, at that time, I'm a teenager, I didn't really know what love was, but to me, it felt like, this is my person. And, I wanted to be with him. So that's kind of how it started. And then it just, he would apologize and say he didn't mean to. It's just that he was jealous or I did this and kind of like, to get me to like, stay and well, someone loves me so much that he's like getting jealous that he's, so it kind of started from there. After that, I didn't really tell anybody. I remember like there was an incident at school, and obviously the principal got involved, and we weren't able to talk to each other, and I still saw him, but I ended up getting pregnant my senior year, so I ended up having my oldest daughter in 2008. So I had just graduated in June, and I think I had her in October. So at that point, it was more like I didn't want to be like a single mom. I really like, I feel like at least in our culture, it's more like, you got to stay with the dad and make it work. So I feel like for me, I was in that mentality like, well, I got to make it work and maybe he'll change and things like that. Obviously it didn't change and it just got worse. And there was a lot of things that like basically he didn't have his documentation papers, so I felt like I had the need to not say anything because I didn't want him to get deported, the father of my kids. There's just so many things, so many excuses that I made for him, which I shouldn't have. I wish I would have known. And to be honest, I didn't really like, I didn't tell my parents. I didn't tell my sisters. I just kind of kept it to myself because I was embarrassed. I didn't want anybody to know what I was going through or to judge me or, so I felt like I didn't have that support. So, like, even though, our families are super close, I just felt like I couldn't say anything. And then I just kind of stayed. And then I had my other kids and I thought it was going to get better. So basically, I was with them for 15 years and I felt like it got worse. It escalated. I feel like I, in a way, like I was just taking it for my kids, and it was kind of like he was a certain way, in front of people, and it's like behind closed doors. He was a completely different person. And then I think it wasn't until my son Roman was born that it kind of like things like changed. Like he basically, was seeing someone else at work. And to be honest, I see it as a blessing that he kind of like ended it with me because he was seeing someone at work, and I guess in a way, what he literally, I remember when I found out was he literally said he left for an upgrade, so he ended up leaving, and that was like my blessing in disguise. I feel like it was God's way of like, you're just gonna stick, in this situation for your kids, and you're not gonna leave, so kind of like, let me help you out. Let me remove him from your life. And this is what I'm going to do, And so I just removed myself from that situation with the kids. And To be honest, it was the best thing ever because, like you said, I was completely a little bit different. I was definitely overweight, and I think that being in an abusive relationship, you lose yourself because I felt like I lost myself. You talk to my sisters, and I was completely different. I was always moody. I never wanted to do anything. I was always in a bad mood. I was just always judging. And I feel like as soon as I removed myself from that toxic situation, things changed. I was a completely different person. I could think for myself. I didn't have someone telling me what to do, what to think, what not to say, because he was always don't say the truth. Always say, things differently. I feel like he was conditioning me. So I think once I got out of that situation, I was me again. It's like I found myself again, the person that I was prior to him, the person that I was in high school and middle school, that was happy, that was outgoing. I kind of got her back. So I was very, I was very much, very blessed to be able to leave that situation because there's some people that don't get out, or that it's worse,
You think that you, because you kind of say that him taking the initiative to leave was the biggest blessing. Looking back, obviously, I'm sure when it was happening to you, it didn't feel that way. It was probably a really difficult place to be in. So when you say like, oh, it was such a blessing because, do you think that you would have ever been able to leave on your own, or do you think that you honestly would have kind of been in that relationship, I don't know, for such a long time, more years, if he wouldn't have been the one to leave?
Well, I feel like already into the 15 years, it was pretty much I already knew from the pretty early on, I wasn't happy. And I think it was just kind of I was numb. I felt I didn't want to be with them. I wasn't happy at all. It was just me going through the motion. And to be honest, I mean, there's a lot more to the story, but basically, a little bit early on, he had kind of hit depression. I had kind of found out that he had been unfaithful because he was honest with me. And this was when I was pregnant with my son Roman, the one who's 3. So I kind of did remove myself during that time. And when he was kind of again saying, "I'm suicidal. I need you. I can't live without you and the kids. You need to be here." I kind of got sucked back in because, being the person that I am, I was like, okay, let me get you the help. I'm not gonna leave you. I don't want something to happen, and then it's like, well, it's my fault because I didn't, help him. So I kind of stayed and got him the help, and then he asked for let's do counseling. I'm so sorry. So I figured he didn't have to tell me. He did tell me. I said, I'm gonna try counseling, and at the end of the day, I don't want my kids to, end up telling me hey, you didn't give our dad a chance. So I said, I'm gonna try it, see how it goes, make my decision. But then again, he ended up leaving anyways. He basically ended up leaving for someone else, what he said he wouldn't do. And that was maybe from his first confession, maybe 2 months after he kind of changed. So I think at that point I was kind of all right, I was at the stages where I'm kind of done. And this was, I guess, my excuse, right? It would have been my excuse, well, you told me one time, you're doing it again. So I think at that point, I was kind of well, I'm gonna use this as my excuse, even though really I was checked out already,
Do you think that
So I
that's the
think that,
moment where you're like, there's no going back, like, I'm done?
yeah, I think that was the moment. And literally the day I left, I literally left with a bag of clothes as much as I could take in a trash bag. I literally left around 11 at night. I had my newborn son, a couple of days old, my 2 kids, and I went to my sister's, and it was literally them, me opening up to them and saying, "This is what I'm going through." And they just all they said was leave them, just come with us and just leave. And that's all. I remember, I just left. I didn't look back. I had that support, which I mean, pretty much I would have always had it, but I just never opened up, So I was really grateful to my sisters and my family.
Yeah, I do believe that you would have probably always had that support, but like you said, sometimes there's so much shame, and I don't even know, honestly, and who knows where it comes from, right? Because I'm sure like we've all felt that shame. I think it might be because part of us deep down thinks it's my fault. Like I must have done something wrong to deserve this, which is totally not true, right?
Yeah.
Those are kind of like the lies that we tell ourselves. And so we're like, well, maybe I do deserve this. Like maybe this is the life that I'm supposed to have. Like maybe this is what God wanted. But no, definitely not. I think you do deserve to be loved and happy and taken care of. And like looking back, obviously now, you know, I do remember you looking sad, you know, and just having like no emotion in your eyes, you know, like
Yeah.
almost like you said, very numb. And so to see you now when you're out of this relationship, and like you said, I remember interacting with this person and thinking, oh, he's a great guy, right? I would have never known. But obviously, hearing what happened and then seeing you now, and it's like you look so happy. You have so much light in your eyes. You have so much, you just shine. You shine so differently now. And I know that that's also because of all the work that you've done to get yourself here. And thank God for your, you know, your sisters, and your mom's amazing too, your dad. And I'm so happy that they rallied behind you, because that must have been really scary. Like I can't even imagine, like you said, you leave 11 o'clock at night with a trash bag and, you know, two little kids, and then you have a newborn. Like that is scary, but you have definitely showed me and inspired me that it's okay to do hard things, and we can do hard things. And I
Yes.
think that that's like one of the lessons that I've kind of that you've taught me, you know, like it's okay to do hard things, and it's okay to do scary things. And it's okay to talk about things, you know, like it brings light to those topics that sometimes, a lot of the times, are kept in the dark.
Yeah, and like I said, I definitely, opened up, on social media. It was just, I was just so tired of the lies, tired of living a fake life of like not being transparent. I felt in a way also sharing, about what I was going through could possibly, help someone else. Like, if I could do it, that maybe somebody else could do it, or like, oh, I didn't know she was going through this, who else is going through this? And like, so that people know we're not alone, and it's very scary. And I kind of, in a way, also wanted to like, if someone was going through it, like one of my friends, like, please reach out if you need to talk to someone. I'm always available if like someone's going through this and needs to talk about it, because I've been through, I know how it is. So I definitely want to like, support someone and be there, emotionally for them, because I know what it is to be, in that spot when you don't have anybody to talk to, or you can't because you feel like someone's gonna judge you. You know? Yeah.
I
I
feel like maybe like the failure aspect or the fear of failure, not so much, I mean, maybe for your kids, but also like in our parents' eyes, I feel like in the Latino culture, like you're saying, you know, we're supposed to stay with this person, or that's what we just expect, I guess, or society expectations. So the moment that you decide to leave, you're like, I don't know how I'm feeling about it. I know now you radiate happiness, so, you know, you're over it and you've healed from it. But in those moments, I'm sure you felt like the world was just crushing down on you, and you were just trying to survive and make it for your kids, not so much for yourself, I guess. As I would, maybe that's how you felt. I'm not exactly sure because I haven't talked to you about it, but. Like it, I just feel like I would feel in those positions like the world would be crashing down on me. And
Yeah.
so failing my parents or failing my kids or trying to keep this family for my kids, and then all of a sudden, you know, now I'm gonna be talked about, or maybe that's why you kept it to yourself, because like you, I do have a support system if something were to go wrong. And it's like, I don't know if I could be that brave and tell them, you know what I mean? Because like
Wow.
in everybody's eyes, everything looks great.
Yeah, no, definitely. It was definitely not easy, to leave, because I mean, I didn't have a plan. I didn't know where I was going to live. Like, my sister just let me, stay in a room, but I had to figure out, well, I need to find housing. Like, I need somewhere to live with my kids. Like, how am I going to do this? Like, at this point, I'm a single mom. From one night to the next, like, or one day to the next, I'm no longer a two-parent household with two incomes. I literally have one income. So I don't know, like, gratefully, like, my mom has a lot of resources, so she was able to help me. But I literally, went, I believe it was like in Petaluma, they have like a housing resource, and they basically helped me because I was a single at the time. I guess I was pretty much homeless because I didn't have nowhere to go. And so they helped me get housing. It probably took about a month, but I was able to get, housing, an apartment, help with the rent, for like 3 months, the deposit. So that helped a lot, and all it took was me opening up, me wanting to go get that help. And, I didn't have a plan, but it's like sometimes we don't have plans, but we just got to do things that we, we're afraid to do, or that we, we're not sure what's going to happen, but we just got to do it. And, kind of like, well, let's hope for the best, let's try to get the resources, and you just kind of figure it out as you go,
Yeah, I feel like a lot of the times, like a lot of the stuff we live in life, we don't really know until we're in the position. So, a lot of people just shut down, and you didn't. You did it for your kids, and you took them with you. A lot of the times, some people just like remove themselves and leave their kids. And I have a family member that had four. I think he has four kids, and the lady walked out and left her kids. And I was like, well, as much as like crazy as a relationship I would have been in, I would have never left my kid. This is less than a year old, and she walked out, and then she remarried and left, and the kids don't even see her. And I'm like, I could never, but I mean, everybody's situation is a little bit different. But I was like, I don't know how I could live without my own kids. You know what I mean? Like, for me, they're my everything, and they're my number one. If something were to ever happen, my kids go with me, and I don't care. Like, we may get half and half down the road, but my kids are mine, and I grew up with them, and I did everything for them. And I don't know. That's just who I am. And I don't know if that's something with our culture, but kudos to you. And I did remember seeing some posts online. I know you were very open about your whole situation, and like how in their eyes, or in his family's eyes, he was perfect, because of course they're always going to back up the person that's related to them, no matter how wrong they are. And it's like, at the end of the day, you push through, and that's something that I really admire from you. And I mean, I'm married, and I'm doing great, but I'm like, sometimes the in-laws can be a little bit hard, and I'm like, I just put boundaries, and thank God I've been able to do that. But it's just really hard in our community to have boundaries, and we've talked about this, Myra. It's just crazy.
Yeah, definitely.
And I think that, like you said, it's so, it can be so scary, and you push through, and I think women, they hear this question a lot, like, why did you stay? Why didn't you leave? But to me, that's like victim shaming, like there's so many reasons why people don't leave. Like, it's not as easy as just get out. If it was that easy, we wouldn't be in these situations, like I have so much empathy and so much respect for women that stay, just as much as I have respect and admiration for women that leave, because at the end of the day, we're all just trying our best. We have our own battles that we're facing every day. And for people to be like, why didn't you leave? Like, it's that to me, it sounds almost like an ignorant question because it really is not that easy to answer. Like, if it was that easy for people to just get out, well, then they would, And I'm sure you can attest to the fact that it was not easy. Like, it was really hard for you. I mean, yeah, he left, but you still left too, and that and with your kids and not knowing where you were going to live. And thank God you asked for help and so much help was given to you. Like, thank God. But for someone that might be really scary and not something that they want to do or they feel like they can do, So it just, I feel like we do have to be a little bit more empathetic and not just be asking people like, why didn't you leave? Like, it's not that easy.
Yeah, definitely. I feel like it's not easy for everybody to leave. And when you have kids, when it could be when you're like, maybe they have the income and you don't have the income, you don't have the support. So it's like, well, if you leave, like, you're kind of gonna be homeless. You're not gonna be able to feed your kids. And there's so many different like reasons. Obviously, I could tell you one thing, someone else is going to tell you another. But I will say that, like, the sooner that you leave, it's definitely better, because they don't change. And currently I'm seeing my therapist that I've been seeing for the past like almost 4 years, and she's been there. And you need to find help. You need to find therapy to talk about and to be able to cope and heal from it. And I feel like I've definitely healed. Maybe not 100% because there's still certain things that might trigger me. But I've definitely made progress, and I feel like I'm definitely in a way better like headspace, definitely way better place than where I was, a couple of years ago.
I love that you mentioned therapy because that was actually one of the questions. The next question that I was going to ask you is, what work have you done for yourself or even for your children, to kind of not repeat that cycle of abuse?
So I've been doing therapy. I did actually get my kids a counselor, a therapy right when kind of everything happened, because I didn't want them to be affected. I wanted to give them the tools that they needed to be able to cope, with what was happening. Like I said, I believe when it kind of happened, like when I found out, or even though he did kind of tell me, it was really like me seeing a message on the phone and me like kind of telling him. My son Milan was there, and I literally got into an argument with him, and it was very traumatic for my son at the time, who was smaller, to find out like, well, dad has another girlfriend, dad's like not going to be with us. And then my eldest daughter, finding out. So, I felt like they needed to get help. And I feel like a lot of people sometimes don't seek the help, and then the kids end up being like having issues down the road. So I wanted someone that was, qualified to be able to tell them, hey, it's okay, and explain kind of what was going on, what happened between me and my ex to them, and be able to help them. But luckily, they did that for a bit, and then the counselor, ended up deciding that, they were good, they didn't need it. And kids are so resilient, at a young age. So besides doing the therapy for me, the therapy for the kids, I really got into fitness over, it's been like over a year ago. Yeah, I really got into fitness. I decided to invest in my health and myself, and kind of just, reading books that kind of help, with coping, kind of what I've been going through, and also books on like motivation and kind of like how to protect your peace and not worry about what other people are doing, or maybe what someone might say to you, things like that.
I love that great that you mentioned your fitness journey because that was actually my next question. I have obviously seen your fitness journey, oh my God, fitness journey online as so many other people. And I love watching the videos that you share. You have so much good information. I love seeing you at the gym with your friends and you just make it seem like it's such a fun and positive environment. I know that you've talked to me a little bit about how that's kind of helped you gain your confidence back. So do you want to talk a little, can you talk a little bit about that, how it has helped you kind of find yourself again and gain your confidence back?
So like I said, I started really like last year. I kind of was tired of just not feeling, good about myself. I didn't feel good. Nothing that I wore, nothing like fit good. I didn't like how it looked. I was just so unhappy, and it's just like a feeling of not being comfortable in your body. So I just, I said, you know what? I'm gonna invest, and I'm gonna do something about it. I was fed up. So basically, I decided to join. At first, I joined F45, which is a fitness place here in Santa Rosa. So that was kind of my starting point, and I went there. I started eating better, and basically after that, just doing that plus doing soccer. It really helped me lose the weight. Did that, and then after the F45, after I felt like, okay, I know kind of what to do, because I didn't know what to do. So I started there because they give you, like, they give you a routine, you just follow it, and there's coaches there to help. So as soon as I got, enough comfortable, I and basically seeing online on Instagram, like videos and following fitness, pages, I kind of just decided, okay, like I'm kind of grown up now, right? So I can just do it on my own. So I just started to go to the gym to lift, which I never did before. And yeah, I pretty much fell in love with the gym. It became a routine that if like I don't go, I miss it. I feel like I don't feel great, if I miss a day at the gym. It's just, it throws me off. So it's like, it's kind of like a routine. Like you just get up and do it. It's kind of like going to work. You just get up, you do it, you got to do it, and then you're done. And I feel like honestly working out, I like to work out in the mornings, but definitely working out makes me feel so much better in my body. It helps me, like, my confidence, it helps my energy level. And I honestly feel like that's what helped me, like, with my confidence, is being able to, lose the weight. And it's like, okay, like now I was able to buy what I wanted, and I felt great. It's just an amazing feeling when you just really like get fit and you just eat the right foods, and it just helps your body.
Yeah, and I love how you are like really honest about like you don't just try to pretend like, oh, I just this is this is me. I've always looked like this. Like you're really open about your struggles and you'll share like before pictures and now what you look like. And you also will literally share your workouts. Like you'll do reels where you'll share like these are the workouts that I do. And I love that because to me it's like you're such a girl's girl. Like you really want other people to succeed and you want other people to get in shape and feel good about themselves. And you're always like, yeah, like you've told me like, yeah, like come work out with me. Like you're not one of those people that's gonna be like, oh no, like I don't want you to look good, like only I'm gonna look good. Like you really inspire other people, and I love that because you're really a girl's girl. Like you're not just out here trying to, pretend that you're, I don't know, that you're something that you're not,
Yeah, no, thank you. Yeah, I mean, like I said, I feel like I was thin back before I met him in high school, and I felt like I was confident. I had a good body back then, and then with the abuse and the kids, like I just kind of let myself go. I was just unhappy. And then I basically now got into the fitness, and to be honest, like yeah, like I love to see, other girls or other people succeed. Like I go to the gym with friends, and it's kind of like we hype each other up. We're like, come on, like they'll be like, oh, what, you're scared, you can't do it. Like I'm like, no, I'm like, I'm down. I was like, let's do it. If we're gonna do 100 squats, I'm gonna do 120. Like we just motivate each other and push each other. So I'm definitely, yes, a girl's girl. Like I want to help other people. Like I wanna, people reach out to me and be like, hey, I want to work out with you. I'm like, hey, let me know when you want to hit the gym. I'm like, I am so down to hit the gym. Let's do a session together. So I'm very pro, like, let's make it happen. You can do this. I'm very much like in support of, like, I want other people to win,
Yes, and you can tell that from your content, and I love it so much. And I love to see you working out with your friends. It always seems like you guys have the best time together. So what advice would you give to someone that maybe is scared, like wants to go to the gym, but they feel scared or intimidated?
Well, my advice would be start with whatever makes you comfortable. Sometimes, yeah, you're gonna feel uncomfortable, like a fish out of water. You don't know what to do, how to do the machines or anything, but I would say I started at 45, and that was because there were coaches there, repetition. When I felt more comfortable, that was when I left, and I'm like, all right, I can do it on my own. There's other people that get fitness trainers, like personal coaches, that will, maybe you can get one, you're able to afford one for like maybe 3 months, enough for you to, get an understanding of what you need to do, kind of like to start you, in your journey. And then after that, just it'll be pretty much repetition, you kind of finding out, like, maybe other workouts. So I would say, start where you can start, whether it be a fitness class, whether it be personal training, whether it be just maybe going to the gym for like, I don't know, let's say 30 minutes, 45 minutes a day, where, maybe you buy a program, and you just follow it at your own pace, and that's pretty much what I did, is just kind of like learn as I go, So that's kind of, I would say, you're basically the best way to start is just to start today. Don't procrastinate. Don't wait till like, oh, well, I'm going to start next week, or I'm going to start in a month. No, just do it. Just go and do it. Start, and do something that's good for you. And this is definitely good, the gym, getting healthy, getting fit.
Yeah. And I love that you say, like, do what feels comfortable, at the beginning. Like, I always say, even if it's just, I'm just going to go on a walk today for 5 minutes, if that's where you're going to start, that's great, and then maybe
Yeah.
tomorrow you'll do 10 minutes, like the important thing, like you said, is just to kind of start wherever, whatever that means for you,
Yeah, definitely.
How do you think that you love yourself differently today than in the past? You talk about a lot how, before you put, I feel like you put everyone else before yourself, and I don't think that's necessarily healthy. So how do you love yourself differently today?
I would say I definitely put myself more first now. Like I said, I've really gotten into my fitness. So that's something that I do for myself. And it's like I do it religiously, like Monday through Friday or Monday through Saturday, I am working out. And that's my time. It's my time to like unwind and, have fun. So I would definitely say that's basically a way that, I'm totally different.
So are you open to love today? I mean, I can't imagine. I've been married for 20 something years, and been with my husband since I was 16. So I often I'm like, oh my God, like if I have to start over, like I'm just gonna give up. Like I'm just gonna be single at home with my cats, like it just seems so terrifying to me. So how do you feel about, starting over, being in a new relationship? Like, are you open to love again?
I definitely am. I would say at the beginning, before I was able to heal, like I already knew, like there was a lot of work that I had to do. Like I said, I was not thinking about, really finding love. It was more about me, like, let me work on myself, let me, get fit, let me get confident, because I was not confident. I was very much like body conscious, the way that I looked. So I really didn't want to put myself out there. I feel like, it's taken me a really long time, because being in a relationship for 15 years that was abusive, I was kind of like in the mindset, like, I don't want to deal with this again. Like, I got to make sure that the next person that I'm with, like, isn't going to treat me like that. So I think that I definitely wasn't ready, because I was much like, I was so afraid, I was so afraid of like just being put in that situation. There was a lot of things that like I couldn't trust, that's still something that I have issues with, is like trusting, like, is he lying to me, or it's too good to be true, like, someone's too good to be true, like, it's gonna happen again. So I would definitely say, like, in that moment I wasn't. I definitely am now. I feel like I've healed. I'm kind of like letting my guard down. And I've been always like very much like, I feel like a hopeless romantic. Like, I've always felt like, someone, there's gonna be someone out there for me. I've never been the one to be like, oh, that's what I'm gonna do, so I'm gonna go look for him. It's kind of like I've always thought, like, if it happens, it happens. If God wants me to meet someone, he's gonna put him in front of me, when I'm ready. Like, I've always felt like I don't need to go looking. When the time is right, it's gonna happen.
Yeah, and I remember you would put like little question boxes on your social media, And you would always get all these. I mean, I'm assuming they were guys. I don't know. Maybe they were girls too. I don't know. And they'd be like, oh, I'm going to take you out. When can we go out? Like, it was always people trying to hit on you. And you were always like, no. Like, I'm working on myself. I just want to be alone. I'm just focusing on me and my kids. And I did think that was really beautiful because I do think that oftentimes, some people can go from one relationship to another and it's like you're not fully healed, And there's like this quote where it says, like, I don't. Something along the lines of like, don't bleed on somebody that didn't necessarily cut you. Like it's just like you want to make sure that you're healed and so you're not bringing all these traumas or trust issues into your new relationship because yeah, it can be really hard to trust someone after what you've been through and not even other people, but even being able to trust yourself, because you're like, oh my gosh, like I picked this person. Do I have a bad picker? So it's like you have to like learn to trust yourself again too and your gut. And so I just think it's really beautiful that you really did take that time for yourself and getting to know yourself and build up your confidence and spend a lot of, and heal not just yourself, but also heal your kids. And you spend so much time with your kids and you're so involved and, you're always like making going above and beyond and taking them to all their activities and you're a really present mom. And I just think that that's really beautiful. And I really applaud you for that. And I hope when the time is right, I hope that you find somebody that is so deserving of you because you are just the most amazing mom, sister, friend, cousin, daughter. Like you are so amazing. You deserve somebody really, really special. And I pray that that person comes into your life and just makes your life greater than it already is.
Yes, thank you. Yeah, I am definitely, like I said, I think part of me also taking my time is to heal is my kids, like I already knew off the bat, like, because like you said, like, if at this age and you started dating, if you weren't with your partner, like it's definitely harder, to meet someone. And so for me, besides, having that on my mind, it was more like my kids, like I didn't want them to grow up seeing me date around. And like, so it's kind of like I got to be careful who I bring around, just, because of my kids, and it's like, I gotta basically pick them right, and, because it's not just me, it's my kids. So for me, it's just like, I don't want them to remember mom was dating a bunch of guys. I wanted whoever the next person, that I figured, I was going to be in a relationship with, like, it definitely has to show me that they're a good person, that they, accept my kids, that they love my kids, in order for me to even introduce them. Like, it's, I definitely, there's a lot of things that I have to look for. I feel like any single mom or, even single dad, that has kids, they want someone that's, gonna be right for them and for, a good match and that's gonna love their kids,
Yeah, it's tricky when you bring in, when there's kids involved, it's really, really scary. I didn't have the best experience with stepdads. I had really horrible experiences, and so for me, I always say like, gosh, I don't know if I would be able to date. I might wait until my kids are grown, or maybe I'll have a boyfriend and he can live at his house and I can live at mine, and then we just see each other, but we don't live together. And then once my kids are out of the house, then maybe, we can move in. But I always growing up, I always really loved your dad in the sense that like he wasn't necessarily the biological father to your two older brothers. But I always saw that he treated them just like their own, that they had his last name. He never treated them any differently than how he treated you and your sister, who were biologically his. And to me, that always made me feel like there's hope. Like there are good men out there who will love and care for your children or women, if it's a single dad, like you said. There are people out there that will love and care for your kids, but it is a big fear, and I understand why it would be really scary. So I get this question all the time, and I was just curious to ask you, what would you say to younger Crystal? What would you say to that high school girl who, I don't know, fell in love with I don't want to say the wrong boy because you got three beautiful kids out of that relationship, you know, but what would you say to younger Crystal, and would you have done things differently?
Yeah. So basically, I feel like if I could tell her, I would basically say, don't be afraid. Someone that loves you doesn't hurt you, right? And that wasn't love, and that someone else, is out there that's gonna really value you, respect you, and treat you, right. Because someone that truly loves you, wants the best for you, isn't, envious, isn't gonna hurt you. So that's what I would say to her, because I feel like a lot of girls at a young age feel like that's love and, oh my God, it's the end of the world. Like, no, they might be like, no, mom, he's the one, but it's like they don't know at that age. It's like, well, no, he's not really like, the one. He's your first love, but you need to grow, you need to learn what love really is, how you should be treated,
I agree. That's great advice. My daughter, she's 17, and she went through like a really bad breakup, and she was so heartbroken, and she was, crying and crying and crying, and she would always tell me like, "Oh, but mom, like you met your forever person when you were my age, because I was 16 going on 17 when I met my husband." And I'm like, "No, like you're not, so it's not supposed to work that way. Like this isn't normal. Like, yes, I did meet my person at a young age, and I've been very lucky. My husband is a good husband. He's a good man. He treats me very well. But that doesn't, like, that's not the fairy tale. That's not, that shouldn't be the goal. Like, you shouldn't, most people don't meet their forever person at 16, and I don't think you should. Like, I always tell people, like, I wish I could go back and not have gotten married so young. Like, I love my husband. I would marry him today 1,000 times again, but maybe I would have married him at 27 and not at 19. Like, it's one of those things where it's like, it's good for you to have experiences and get to know yourself and build your confidence and go to college or get a career, whatever you want to do, and live on your own maybe for a little bit, and just make some mistakes. That's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to make mistakes. So I always tell her like that, no, like don't be like me.
Yeah, no, 100% I agree with what you're saying,
Do you, what does the future look like for Crystal? Like, where do you see yourself in 5 to 10 years?
Well, to be honest, I honestly don't think about much about my future of like where I'm gonna be in 10 years or 5 years. I'm kind of like, I just tend to like worry about what's going on in my life within like the maybe now or like within a year. I definitely feel like maybe within the next couple years, since I do love the gym so much, that's definitely something that I would like to, maybe do something around, maybe start like training, because I do have a lot of girls that, reach out that want to work out. So that's something that I'm definitely in the works of like trying to do, and just learn more about that, because it's definitely something that I'm passionate about besides soccer. So yeah, so I would say something along the lines of that.
Oh, I
I'm
love
like,
that.
kidding. I'm
Yay.
just kidding.
Yeah. No, you should. You should totally do it. You would be great. That's amazing. And then what did you say about, sorry, I didn't
I
hear
said I'll
you.
be her first guinea pig.
Sing, sign me up. No,
Yeah.
I'm so excited. That's great. You would be perfect. Perfect for that job. It would be so great. Yeah. Or even like I know you do a lot of you help in like coaching your kids' soccer team as well, and I think you're great at that too as well. So that would be something else awesome for you to do.
Yeah,
To do more of.
I'm actually every once a week I do train my daughter's team with like fitness, like strength training and things like that. And that's something that I also really enjoy, running her training. So it's definitely something that I would possibly want to do as well. Hopefully if I could get them all in the gym, it'd be better, but but yeah.
No, I love that. Thank you for sharing. So if you feel comfortable, where can people find you? You know, if somebody does have, I don't know, a question about fitness or just, I don't know, want some advice, is there somewhere where they can reach you?
Well, I do keep my Instagram and like my Facebook pretty, it is private. So, I have limited access to who can reach me. I tend to not accept anyone that like I don't know. Maybe if I've had some interactions with you or like, you know, we grew up, you know, kind of like a mutual friends that we kind of know each other, then, you know, more likely to accept. But I'm pretty private where I don't like to, you know, give my information and things like that. I'm hopefully going to be starting a fitness Instagram, and that would be public. So that's a way that people can contact me. But like my personal one and things like that, I like to just kind of limit to who has access to seeing my, you know, my stuff. So I post, because I do post sometimes about my kids and things like that. But
Which
yeah.
is totally understandable. I mean, I have my personal Instagram page private as well because of my kids. I share a lot of things about my kids, and I'm very protective of my children. Obviously, our podcast page is public, so anyone can message there, reach out there, but it's kind of the same thing. Like, if I don't know you personally, like, I'm probably not going to accept, unfortunately. But yeah, maybe they can be on the lookout for a public page that you might do. And if you do end up opening one, maybe just share it with us so we could link it in the description so people can go there. I think that would be awesome because you do have a lot of really good content and you are really inspirational, and I know that it would be like I love following a lot of like fitness influencers and people that motivate me and inspire me, or even just like because sometimes you get so bored of doing the same thing at the gym and you want to find new things to do. So watching the videos can be like, oh, I want to try that, you know. So it would be really cool for you to do something like that. You would definitely be great at it.
Yeah. Well, I'm definitely in the works of doing something that, so I will let you guys know when I have that. But if not, I guess in the meantime, they can comment on, you know, this video if they need to reach out or something, you know?
For sure. So the last two questions that we like to end all of our interviews with are, what is the worst advice that you've ever received, and what is the best advice that you've ever received?
Ooh, I would say probably the worst advice, was when my ex-mother-in-law basically told me, you know, if you need to talk to someone about what's going on, you know, with, you know, her son at the time, tell me. Don't tell your mom, don't tell your sisters, because they're gonna judge you. Just tell me everything that you need to tell me. That's the worst advice that I've ever gotten, because it, in a way, it was kind of like, well, let's keep everything kind of like close, like let's not let anybody know what you're going through, and just tell me, like I'll kind of help you. But really there was no help, you know, in that abusive relationship. So that's the, I think the worst thing you could do is kind of like, you know, keep quiet, you know, because it doesn't help you. It helps, you know, the abuser, you know, but not you. So yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty bad advice. Definitely. Yeah, no, don't do that.
Yeah.
What's the best advice you've ever received?
The best advice I would say was from my counselor, my therapist, I should say. And she basically told me, do what makes you happy. If it's, I remember telling me, like, if soccer is what makes you happy, playing soccer, then make the game. Don't try to, like, oh, I can't make it because I have this to do or this other thing to do. Like, always try to keep that one thing, you know, in your life, whatever it is that you're looking forward to, you know, during that week, or, you know, do it. Just don't cancel that. Keep doing that. Do what makes you happy and just stick to it.
Like honoring the commitments that you make to yourself.
Yes.
I love that. Yeah, my therapist tells me things along that same line, and that has been really good advice. So thank you for sharing that with us. And once again, thank you so much for coming on. I know that this episode is going to help a lot of people and hopefully just make them feel, if anything, make them feel less alone. Make them feel like there is hope and there are people who understand and you're not alone and you didn't do anything wrong. So thank you so much for being so open and vulnerable and for coming on with us.
Yeah, well, thank you for having me.
It was a pleasure. Thank you so much for sharing your story. I know a lot of people will be able to relate, and a lot of the times, like I tell Myra, these things are things that are kept under the rug. So the more that you can talk about it, even if you find one person or two people you can confide in, I have my best friend that I tell everything to, and she calls me whenever she needs me. So just having those connections and not necessarily like, I know she won't judge me and I won't judge her. Like, it's all based on her. And at the end of the day, like, if you choose family, it may end up hurting you in the long term because maybe you won't talk during you. I don't know. A lot of people get scared of like damaging a relationship and not being able to nurture it after you tell them something. So
Yeah.
make sure you're like you're confiding in someone that won't judge you, even if it's a therapist. I've done therapy too, which is great. But my best friend is like number one on my list because, like I said, we can tell each other whatever, and it's up to ourselves at the end of the day to do whatever we want to do. But
Yeah.
thank you for coming on. We really appreciate it, and we hope everybody liked this episode. Subscribe if you haven't. And if not, we'll see you guys next week. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.